I really felt it was going to take 6 to 8 games in the league to try to figure out where everybody was because of the bizarre scheduling. And I haven't changed my mind on that, nor have I changed it on how good the league is. It was good to be able to bounce back and actually play very well a large percentage of that game against Wisconsin. Got a couple days to prepare again for ourselves this week. We've had some good practices, and that's been really good. And I think we're getting a little better play out of Gabe, a little better play out of Aaron, a lot better play out of Rocket. And that's been a big positive. But the league right now is so good, and yet we're still in a place where some teams have played 4 or 5 home games, some teams have played 2 or 3 home games. So it's very hard for media, fans, even players to figure out where anybody's at right now. So I'm looking at this as kind of a separation week, one way or another. You know, we're either going to win some games and separate ourselves, or we're going to lose some games and not separate ourselves. And I think that's going to give us a better indication. The home teams are 41-7, which is like ridiculous. Ridiculous. And is it the parity? What's going on? What's going on with teams all over the country? I think it's the most confusing. They say that there's a ton of teams that could win it all. We have 12 teams in a top 50. When you have 12 teams in a top 50, that means you have 12 teams capable of getting in the NCAA tournament, and we're just going to beat the hell out of each other. And as far as Indiana goes, big, strong team. They're starting 6'11", 6'10". Smith, who was a power forward last year, is playing the 3 spot. They're rebounding the hell out of the ball. They have not shot the ball real well, but they are rebounding. Kind of reminds me of some of my early teams. And yet they have 4 players in double figures, so they have good balance, just nobody real big. Freshman, you know, Trace Jackson, a kid we recruited hard, is averaging 14-8 and is having a hell of a freshman year. I think he's one of the best freshmen in the league. Justin Smith is a guy that's a senior that has played well, averaging 12 points and 5 rebounds. He's good defensively. He's a great offensive rebounder. And Joey Brunk, the transfer, at 6'11", you know, he's scoring 8-9 points and getting 7-8 rebounds. So they got a lot of guys between that 12 and 7 range as far as points, and a lot of guys in that 6, 7, 8 range as far as rebounds. The guys that have killed us, Devontae Green and Durham, the last couple of years, are still guys that are in double figures, probably 2 of their best shooters. And this is one of the better teams in the country, getting to the free throw line 26 times a game. So they're getting a lot of dribble penetration with their guards. I think guys are helping. I think that's why they become, besides being real big, they become a good offensive rebounding team. When you drive the ball like that, you also get fouled more. When you get offensive rebounds, you get fouled more. And so we're going to have to do the job in transition. We have to do the job rebounding the ball and defending without fouling. So topsy-turvy, man, as far as I don't know if you guys have any idea where all the teams are in the league. I sure as hell don't, but I think it's going to, you know, get a little – after this week, you'll get a little bit of a better idea, not about Michigan State, really, about the whole conference, if you ask me.
You guys are going straight from Indiana to Minnesota over the weekend. What can that do for a team as far as, you know, chemistry, cohesion, spending that much time?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a pretty close team. I'll be honest with you. You know, some of it has to do with Cash. You know, we're just trying to get him. It's been a tough couple of games for him, and of no surprise, meaning we know there was, and maybe just getting away from some of the stuff and try to get out of the limelight and just kind of be one of the fellows, as Irvin Johnson used to say. That was one of the reasons. The other one was the quick turnaround. You know, we felt like we'd be spending a lot of time in a plane. The third one was You know, we're missing very few classes on Friday. Friday's a day. So it all worked out where we thought it'd be a little team time, get guys away where it's just us and them. You know, they're hearing and seeing so many things, and everybody, we just thought it would be the right situation. You don't get many of these opportunities, so we are going from Indiana right up to Minnesota. We'll practice up there at the Timberwolves place, I think, or at the U. You know, try to do a little something Friday with the team, and I think it's going to work out well. As you know, if you win the game, it was probably one of the greatest decisions in the history of mankind, and if you lose the game, I'll be the dumbest SOB in the history of mankind. So it's going to be feast or famine. But for me, win or lose, I think it was the right decision. My staff brought it up to me. I thought it was a great idea, and we were able to do it.
Tom, I know the experience isn't what you expected it to be with Josh and now Kyle out, but when the road games are at such a premium, do you feel like you have at least a little bit of advantage that your two best guys are really experienced guys with Cassius and Xavier that have been through a lot of this stuff that can maybe withstand,
you know,
some of those
events? Yeah, except one of them, you know, Cassius is struggling a little bit right now. But I'd say, yeah, but usually you don't do it. You know, it's like, again, feast or famine. We got two with a lot of experience, one with a little bit of experience, and seven with really none. You know, I just... Again, I don't look at age or grade. I look at experience. And, you know, other than Aaron, Cassius, and Xavier, and Aaron had half the year, I just feel like this is the youngest team I've ever had. So we went back and looked, and, you know, we had the year in 2002, and we had the year, I think it was Neitzel's senior year when we were pretty young and lost some people, but we still had, we had a Travis Walton there. We had a leader that really led too. And in 02, we had a couple of guys that was probably the worst. And ironically, those were the two worst years we've had in the 25 years as far as losses. So this has been different than I thought it was going to be, for a lot of reasons, you know, because those two and still hoped Hauser would have been there. But it's also been good to watch some guys step up. I mean, that last game, I didn't think was Cash's. I thought it was one of his worst games, if I was to be honest about it. And yet we were up 20-some points. So that means some other guys are starting to grow a little bit, and hopefully we're getting a little better. But I don't know. You hope that helps you. But we're still awfully young in a lot of ways.
Kind of wonder, Aaron. He had the struggles at Purdue. When a guy goes back to his home state, especially the out of state guys, how do you coach them down? I know Nick had the stuff at Ohio State. How do you keep them in check and keep it at a level?
I like the Knicks when I look back. I like the Adrian Paynes when I look back. I like the Gary Harrises when I look back, because that was a big thing for a lot of reasons. In some cases, they weren't recruited by those schools like it is for Aaron. In some cases, it was just going back home. What's a little different now, and I think it's happening all over, is there's just not the, you know, it's okay to be mad at someone for not recruiting you. That motivates you. And it, you know, I didn't picture that. You know, like Indiana's a team that beat us twice. Revenge, it's not in the doesn't seem to be as powerful in the new millennial way of looking at things. It is for me, but the damn NCAA won't let me play. So I don't, you know, I hope Aaron is more jacked. And sometimes it seems like we get a little more cool and casual. But I can't blame anything on Purdue, on Aaron Henry. I got to blame that on Tom Izzo. I mean, we just did not play good.
You have a very talented team, but you could make the argument your most talented player isn't playing in Joey. You can make that argument. I'm just curious, what does it say the way he's been engaged, the way you've been able to build a relationship, how he's coaching in practice, and what it means that he's not mentally checked out.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely, it is a the right question because, you know, you go through guys and their redshirt years are difficult for people, especially a guy like him who didn't play his senior year of high school because of the injury. Now he's sitting out this year, so in the last 3 years, he's only played 1 year of basketball. But this kid is going to be a special player. He gets it. He has as good a basketball IQ as the, you know, the Valentines. I mean, the Magics, the Cassius Winstons. I mean, he has a very high basketball IQ. And probably the best part, you know, is his shooting. But he is an incredible passer. And so he comes upstairs, watches a little film on whoever we want him to be, and he'll go into practice. If it's a left-hander, he'll start shooting left-handed. If it's a right-hander, he'll start shooting right-handed. If it's a post guy, he'll go in the post. If it's a perimeter guy, he'll go to the perimeter. We sit there and marvel sometimes that he just shot that left-handed, but it was an 18-foot shot, you know, and so he has been, you know, he's a little too quiet for me yet. I'm going to break him out of that before I'm done with him. But he has superseded what I thought he'd be, and he's really, we said he had to get stronger. We said he's got to learn to guard people on the perimeter, and he's really working on that. So I think, like we always tell red shirts, once you get past Christmas, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and he's making the most of it. I think he's really making a lot of his redshirt year, and that's encouraging.
Tom, Gabe Brown seems to have taken some huge strides with shot selection and discipline there, and then rebounding and a knack for that. Can you just get into where you see him as a player now and where he's headed a little bit?
You know, I try to compare him to a Morris Peterson. You know, what was he like at the same age? And you know, the funny part is he's ahead of where Morris was at the same age, and then Morris really took off, and Morris got his defense down. He started rebounding the daylight out of the ball, and he became a more consistent shooter. And Gabe is making all those strides as a sophomore, I think. You know, not there yet, but you brought up the best word, discipline. Disciplined shooter, disciplined defender, disciplined rebounder. Getting more disciplined in everything he's done, and probably, I think my staff would agree, he's probably spent the most time here. You know, I was watching a game last night with Baylor, and they were talking about one of their players who was a Division III player 2 years ago, and they just said how much time he spends in the gym, and it's such a understated. I mean, we all brag about it one way or another, and yet when you do, that means you're insulting somebody else, but some kids are self-motivated. Some people are self-motivated, and they take their job and they put everything into their job, and some don't. And he's been one since the day he got here, has been a worker. He's got to learn to watch more film. That's the next step, because if he watches more film, he'll process things a little easier. His basketball IQ isn't as high as those other guys, but he's kind of growing into it, and he's got some toughness to him. He's got length. He's got athleticism. And winning is important, and playing well is important. So I love Gabe Brown. He's just one of those guys that get frustrated with a couple of mental mistakes here, forgetting to do this there. But I always know that his heart's in the right place, so it's easy to coach Gabe.
Tom.
She needs a... I'm sorry.
Going down to Bloomington, I know that in your 25th year, I remember way back when it was, Bob Knight being the dean of the coaches at that point. Have you kept in touch with him over the past few years, and since, especially since he's moved back to Bloomington?
You know, I haven't been in touch with him like on the phone and that, but when I see him, Bob's always been great to me. He was great to me. First day I got the job, he called me. He was, to this day, I think, the time we beat him, and called me in and told me that we have a chance to win the national championship. Will go down as one of my favorite Bob Knight stories, because he also told me how to deal with all you guys and how to help the players deal with you and how to stay focused on the task. And really, 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 and he had a good team then too. But, you know, him and Jed were good friends. And I consider Bob Knight not a great friend like that because I don't get to spend as much time with him. But a guy that I've always and still do respect, and I think he respected our program, and that meant more to me than anything else because I value his opinion on things a lot, and I'm glad he's back. I, you know, like everyone else, I think in sports, I still hope that someday they can mend that wound because the building should be named after him, the town should be named after him, the floor should be named after him. What he did for basketball, both at Indiana, in the Big Ten, you know, his records I don't think will ever be broken. And so for that, I'm still a big Bob Knight fan.
This wasn't my original question, but going off of that a little bit, what do you then admire, what did you admire about his coaching style? I mean, I'm sure some of us have a pretty good idea of what you liked, but what about his coaching style?
Yeah, you know, I appreciated that he both had the strength and courage to throw a chair. You know, I can't do that. But no, I just like that what he stood for to me was right. Was it always handled perfectly? I mean, people say I don't handle it perfectly. But I think, you know, I still think for the most part, and this is what I always get a kick out of with any of us, is those players were Bob Knight guys for life. And, you know, still it's the Quinn Buckners of the world that, you know, still feel the same. I talked to Isaiah Thomas when he was here for the Piston thing. And, you know, there is an appreciation. I mean, when they still call him Coach, it isn't even Coach Knight. Coach kind of says it all. Like, he's the one guy they can call Coach. And, I respect that. I respect what he stood for with academics. I respected what he stood for in how he handled the NABC and all the things early on in his career. And I respected that he got frustrated on some things. I really do respect that because I do the same thing. And we don't always handle it exactly the right way. And I don't know if he did, and I don't know if I do, but I still think that we're making a big mistake if accountability isn't the biggest thing that we all have to deal with.